Chris. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the number one sports podcast in Southeast Metro Detroit. It's Teeing It Up with CNV. I'm the C Connor, as always, with my co-host Vladdy. What's going on, man? Kind of like back-to-back episodes for the people since we were late last week and we're recording a little earlier this week. So what's going on in the short time since we've talked?
Yeah, you're right. This might be one of the quicker turnarounds between a episode from Thursday to Monday, but I'm doing well. I played golf yesterday. I put a golf ball in the air, which, as you know, was a premium when we went to the Spartan 2-3 weeks ago. So I'm happy to be back in the good graces of the golf gods. Shot an 86 after putting the clubs down for 2 weeks, and it was from further up tee box that played from 6,000, but once again, considering where the golf game was 3 weeks ago, I love it. So I'm feeling good there. Got a couple of like weekend trips coming up the next couple weeks. So gonna have a couple things to kind of kill the summer, take me into September and kind of get into fall. Take us to football and ready to have fun. How are you?
I'm good. Just we're now fully acclimated back into that adult schedule of the living the job full life instead of the job less life. Yeah, I also had a good weekend. Things kind of we had some fun, but that's for another day. I haven't played any golf. I was just saying that I don't have any interest to it at the moment, but now that I'm talking about it out loud, I feel like I kind of want to just play a bunch of golf now. But unfortunately, I don't have the same amount of time that I used to now that I have a real job. Anyways, we've got a good episode planned. It's going to be our college football preview. We're going to go over kind of the big four, the big storylines there. Maybe talk about some players to watch, teams to watch, what we think is going to break down. And, you know, what I'm going to call year two of the new college football, even though this is whatever year three or four of the transfer portal now. We'll go in depth with our team, Michigan State, a little more than just the others. But other than that, we can kind of get into it. I don't know if there's much else to talk about. Tigers lost another series to a bad team. They're playing Houston as we speak right now. They're trying to just hang on, and they're doing an okay job of that. But other than that, we can kind of get into the football.
Where do we start?
So I think we're going to do this the way we talked before we started recording, is going through each conference. So we'll go through the big four. Let's start with kind of it's kind of a group of two now. And we'll start with some of the non-bigger ones. We can start first with the ACC. We'll just go in alphabetical order. I guess, where do you want to start with in terms of the ACC?
I mean, I think you can encapsulate the ACC as Clemson and the rest of the world or the rest of the conference, but I guess start there. They're one of the rare teams in modern day college football that returns most of their production.
Yep.
They're one of the few teams, especially at the top of the sport, that return their quarterback. And that quarterback, while we like to malign him a lot at the beginning of last season and years prior, he finished 2024 red hot in Cade Klubnik. I think they have a schedule that favors them. They get LSU at home. Like I said, the rest of the ACC is bad. I mean, SMU is ranked, but I think this is going to be one of those teams where you're ranked because of what you did last year, and then you saw 60% of your roster turnover and suddenly you're bad. So they have that. And you don't have Notre Dame in your little crossover ACC, whatever they call that for Notre Dame scheduling purposes. So I mean, for Clemson's purposes, I fully expect 11-1, if not better. And you're going to make a, I don't want to say a run again, but you're going to be an actual force in college football for the first time in 6 years.
I just refuse to accept them as a force. Like you said, the schedule is so ridiculously easy. I'm looking at it right now. I do think they're going to end up losing that game to LSU just because of the percentages. They can't – Brian Kelly can't go 0-4 in first games at LSU and still have a job. So I think that's just going to not play in their favor. I'll get more into LSU when we get to the SEC. And then really the only other challenge I see, I think you said SMU is ranked to start. And then they've lost two of the last three to South Carolina in that rivalry game at the end of the season. Who knows what that team will be like? But other than that, like, you go down this conference and you look, just stare at teams that are going to be 5-7 and 7-5. Florida State, what do they have left after, all the expectations of 2 years ago and then just laying an absolute egg last year? A Louisville team that had a nice season towards the end. And then another one, the only one that I would even like consider talking about is Miami. Obviously, they lose the quarterback who goes first overall. They kind of blow their chance in the last week of the season last year. I don't know a ton, kind of like with a lot of teams, of what they bring back or what they've done truly in the portal, but
Carson
they
Beck.
also, sorry,
Carson Beck.
Carson Beck, correct. Thank you, Cavender Twins. Even though that didn't work out, they broke up like a week later. They don't really have a hard schedule either. And so you look, they're not going to play Clemson. They're going to play Notre Dame week one and get that out of the way with. And honestly, I think you'd rather play that Notre Dame team week one than in week 7 or 8 or 9 down the stretch there when they're getting ready for what will be probably a playoff run given their schedule. I think you can kind of get a team rusty or not get their best early in the season. They have a joke of a non-conference. They'll play a very average Florida team in the non-conference, who is might be a 6-6 team in the SEC this year. Although Billy Napier is going to lose his job if that is the case. And yeah, I mean, other storylines. What will Bill Belichick in North Carolina be? Probably a meme. SMU, can they were a playoff team last year. Can they kind of continue that? And other than that, it's just kind of a bunch of basketball schools, quite frankly. So that's all I got on the ACC.
I'd like to add one more thing about Belichick and UNC. I think it's funny and maybe fitting that his first game is Monday Night Football in an NFL style. He kind of caps or caps off. Yeah, he caps off week one against who was it?
ECU.
Yeah.
Not an
So
easy, not an easy one.
I think I just thought that was entertaining from a scheduling perspective that the NFL coach goes to college and his first game is going to be a Monday night. I'm sure they'll give us ESPN with all the intros, and they'll just give us the NFL broadcast with some new colors. But I disagree with some of the points you made on some of
Okay.
the other teams, not on the ACC ones, but we'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah, I guess the only other kind of ACC, because they play the half season schedule, Notre Dame.
Let's get right into it.
Yeah, they've got some of the most hype of any team last year. Obviously, they come in making the national championship last year. Their running back's back. A lot of the pieces on defense are back. The schedule is an absolute atrocity. I mean, I look at it now, and it's not quite as bad as I remembered, but it's actually not quite. The problem is their last five games, they're not playing a real team, but it's the opposite of basically every other schedule in America. They play what I would consider three pretty good teams, two that I'll call probably might be top 25 teams by the end of the year in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, and they don't play a real team the rest of the season. So I don't know. What do you think about the Love era? What Marcus Freeman has kind of built now, and I look at this now, and they could easily lose three games on the schedule. They shouldn't, but
I'm actually a little higher on Notre Dame than they could lose three games. I think they return pieces in important areas. You mentioned the Love era. Jeremiah Love is probably the best running back in America right now. You've got an offensive line that is incredibly experienced, and as we know, with Michigan 2 years ago, Ohio State last year, getting those big boys that know how to play together, that know how to play off of each other, that have continuity, that is incredibly important. I just struggle to understand if this team is going to become explosive because, I mean, we saw it last year. I mean, they could win some games if they were low scoring, but you were never going to envision a Notre Dame team dropping 40 on one of the powerhouses. You never really. And you know what? Maybe CJ Carr, the new quarterback, is the answer. Maybe they're done playing musical chairs with former ACC flameouts and Sam Hartman and who was the other guy they pulled after him, the kid from Duke.
they had last year.
Yeah.
Riley Leonard.
Yes, there you go. I mean, you go back to back years with those guys, the 23-year-old ACC flameouts. Maybe CJ Carr, a quote unquote homegrown kid, can give you more of an aerial attack, and it's not just, oh, we're gonna play 1980s football on you. But I think this is a team that can compete. I think this is a team that can make a deep run with a good draw in the playoff. But I do think that kind of what that national title showed you against Ohio State before Ryan Day puckered up is that this is a team that Brian Kelly slander or not, they just no longer have the players to be able to compete at the absolute highest level and to truly consider themselves national title contenders. But as you say, I do expect them in the playoff, and at that point, we'll see what happens.
Well, it is interesting because we've basically gone over who I think the two teams that have defied this era. I don't even know if you can really say that for Clemson quite yet, but off of the hype of this year and Clemson and Notre Dame, and it'll be interesting as this year goes on, can they continue to defy this era like other teams have, or other teams have completely changed their ways. So I guess on to the Big 12, unless there was anything else you wanted to talk about in the ACC.
No, and I really don't even want to talk about the Big 12.
Yeah, there's really not, like, I look at this, I did some research coming into this, and it's a conference that, like, I think has a lot of, like, very okay teams, like, very solid teams. I actually think their middle might even be better than the ACC's middle, but they don't have a Clemson, they don't have a Notre Dame playing eight games. Whatever, however many ACC games Notre Dame plays now, they just have a lot of mid, and I really like they could have maybe three or four teams in the high teens to low 20s, but you could be looking at, it's not going to happen, but you could be looking at a team that's not ranked in the playoffs because of this.
I can't disagree with that. Like I said, I'm not sold on this conference at all. I think it's cool that Kansas State and Iowa State are going to play this upcoming Saturday and give us the first preseason top 25. And I'm going to say that in air quotes because
I was gonna say, yeah.
I have always made my feelings known on how much I hate preseason rankings, especially in the modern day when you don't know what these teams are and you can't even project these teams because none of these players have played together. But we have a preseason top 25 matchup for, I think, the first time in 21, 22 years in week zero, is what I saw, which I guess that's cool. They're going to head over to Ireland and play in the Potato Bowl for some reason or whatever they're going to do out there. And good for them. That's all I really have to say at the Big 12. Because, like you say, this is a team or this is a conference where it's above average, and above average is cool. And maybe it'll be exciting because you don't know who the clear favorites are. But you put one of those teams on the field with any of the powers of college football, and they're getting dog walked. So,
Well, it is interesting off of what Arizona State did last year. There's got to be somebody in this conference that goes ahead and wins 10 games and earns a playoff spot and
Arizona State again.
deserves that, possibly. Who knows? I
Hey,
was
they
thinking
got Jordan
Sam.
Tyson,
Yeah.
first round pick Sam Leavitt.
I'll pick Sam Leavitt. That's right. It could happen, but I think, oh, a lot of other people would have maybe like that Kansas State team is what I've seen is probably the top of this conference. But like you said, who knows? And I know, like I said, I think somebody is going to run away with this going 10 games and go win, beat everybody down the stretch and then not necessarily have the juju that Arizona State team had last year going 3-9 and then turning it around and being very competitive in that playoff game against Texas. And like you said, it's just going to get killed by one of the powers that be in the playoffs. But they're there. They're a power. You still get to call them a power four for now.
To the actual important conferences where there's real teams and we can do a little bit more than talk about 3 seconds worth of a conference. Where do we want to start? The SEC or the Big Ten?
Let's go to the SEC.
I love it.
The SEC is going to be the SEC, but there's a lot of question marks, I think, in this conference, more so than years in past. And that kind of starts for me at the top in that Georgia took a step back last year. Alabama took a step back last year. People think Alabama and Georgia are going to be the top of this conference again, aside from Texas, obviously, who's the preseason number one. And Both teams are going to play new quarterbacks, younger quarterbacks. We got to see Stockton for Georgia in the playoffs. Is it Stockton or something like
Gunnar Stockton, yeah.
Stockton? Yeah. And he looked pretty damn terrible in the playoffs. And if a guy who couldn't start over what Jalen Milroe did after some of those losses last year is going to come in and play. They didn't bring in a transfer. It's a guy in-house. I know DeBoer's now got his offensive coordinator from Washington in who went to the NFL. So there's some more comfort there in what the offense they're going to run. And Jalen Milroe is the complete opposite quarterback of what DeBoer had in Phoenix the year before. And I know that probably had to cause some growing pains for what they want to do. But those two teams still bring in the blue chips. They still bring in the best prospects. They're still getting the best transfers. But I just think there's a lot of unproven at a lot of those positions, given how those teams took a step back last year. And it's kind of a wait and probably see. But that's how I feel about at least the top. And kind of how I feel about Texas too. I mean, you can talk about Arch Manning, and that's the biggest storyline in this conference, I think, for sure. And he's a wait and probably see thing too. If he's what everybody says that they want him to be, yeah, Texas is going to be a top four team this year. If he's not, Texas is going to go back to being Texas. They have a very hard schedule. They're going to get tested in week one. And I mean, we can go down the list after that, but that's kind of how I feel about general top of the conference. I don't know if you have anything else before you kind of get more into the thick of the conference.
I'll start with Alabama. I'm not going to say hot seat, but if Kalen DeBoer misses a playoff again,
Yeah, I would say miss the playoff is good. Yeah.
you're looking around, and that is not a patient fan base because they became used to a standard. And if
Yeah.
you deviate from the standard, you can have year one where it's like, hey, man, like, look, you're not him. You will never be him, but we need you to recreate what he did. In the results. And if you can't show us that you are capable of getting there, then you're done. And like you say, Georgia on the road, obviously there's always Tennessee, you get south or you have to go to South Carolina, LSU comes to town, Oklahoma comes to town. The Iron Bowl's always unpredictable with the rivalry. You're right. This is a schedule where with an unproven quarterback, I mean, you could argue 7-5 is realistic. And obviously not plausible, or it's not probable, maybe is the best word, but I can see a world where they go 7-5. I can.
Yeah,
And
I could
so
also see a world where they go 11
absolutely. Like that. I'm only focusing on the kind of where I started with the potential hot seat. If you go south again, you want to move to Georgia. Obviously, Kirby Smart has a little bit more built-in cash, and I mean, they've got a gauntlet as well. Like you know what this SEC kind of reminds me of, and maybe it's from the state of the quarterback play, is that Pac-12 2 years ago where you were running around with Cam Ward at Wazoo, Bo Nix at Oregon, Caleb, Cam Rising before the injuries, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and it felt like every single weekend there was some matchup of guys that were like, wow, they're destined to do something.
You
And
think that
this.
way at the quarterback position?
I mean, Lenora Sellers, DJ Lagway, Nussmeier, Bama and Georgia are going to have guys that are unproven in a sense, but they'll be there. Arch Manning's Mr. Hype himself, like Caleb Williams.
Yeah. I as far as a general storyline, I was going to talk about at the end the lack of quarterback play this year. And
I feel
obviously
like
those
there's
guys
more
are
here than
better.
anywhere else, to be honest.
What?
I think there's more returning here than anywhere else.
But name me one guy that's a top five pick.
I mean, nobody's a top five pick because it's a poor class, but Lenora Sellers is potential number one.
But that's what I mean. What do you mean like
Nussmeier. Okay, who's doing that in the Big Ten?
what?
Who's
No,
doing that?
I'm saying the entire college football.
Oh, sure. But that's just the state of the class where I'll take some of the continuity that they can offer because we'll get to the Big Ten, but the Big Ten's Drew Aller and nobody.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Yeah. I was talking about quarterbacks as a whole.
And that's what I'm saying. I think the SEC actually has it. You have DJ Lagway coming back at Florida, where, and this is where I was going to disagree with you. We said the exact same thing about Billy Napier last year of, oh, well, it goes south and he's fired, and they rallied behind him. They got a quarterback that they think there's good. They're gonna continue to build off, and I think Florida can set up a situation where they're sitting around fighting for one of those at-large playoff spots around 12.
Oh, but the schedule, they're going to play LSU, Miami in the non-conference, Texas, Texas A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee.
Correct. And
That's two, three, four, five. I just named you six games, that seven games that I probably have them as the underdog, besides maybe Miami.
Miami's favored as of right now.
Two, three, four, five, six. Sorry, I can't count.
No,
Six games.
you're right. Like the Miami's favorite. That's just this is one of those where I'm buying into DJ Lagway.
Okay. People bought into Anthony Richardson too.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they
Nobody bought
did.
into a dude who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
He's a fourth round, fourth overall pick.
That's because NFL people have boners for things that can't be coached. Oh, he's 17 feet tall. He moves mountains in the offseason. Can you ask him to complete 55% of his passes? No. Forget about 60 or
Him to finish a
70.
drive?
What?
Could you ask him to finish a
No, you
drive on
can't do
the
that
opposing
either.
bench?
I know what you're saying. I'm just telling you, this is what Florida's one of those teams where I'm buying into DJ Lagway.
But
To go
they're
to
kind of in that, like, what Texas was forever, what USC has now been forever, and that, like, anytime there's any little hype, they just continuously fail for the last 15 years now.
I'm not going to dispute that, but those 14 years are not this year.
Yeah. Okay. Vladdy is a Gator in 2025.
There we go. My fandom has been laid out. To go to Texas, I think the only thing that I have to say about that is I think we're putting way too much stock in somebody who's never started a meaningful game, who's never played
Definitely.
meaningful snaps, and we'll see what happens. Like you say, obviously, if Arch Manning is what everybody wants him to be and what the name says he should be, then oh my God, this team should be by far and away number one, and they should run riot on all of college football. But again, I can't give that out to somebody who's never played before.
I read something today that they have four new starting offensive linemen, and the thing said, well, with Manning back there, they won't have much work to do. And I was like, how can you say that about a guy that's never played, a young quarterback that's never played a game before, that he's going to pick up a brand new offensive line and carry them? No, it's the other way around. It's just I
I
found
don't
that very
understand it.
entertaining to read.
I'm glad we're in agreement there. I mean, you're gonna have Oklahoma if you talk about kind of the Billy Napier of potential hot seat. Brent Venables is definitely on a potential hot
Definitely.
seat. I think this is what year four at this point of him at Oklahoma.
And they've done nothing.
Yep. So that's something. I mean, Brian Kelly, he is the poster child of hot seat.
Yeah.
He gets his quarterback back, and LSU seems to be, depending on everywhere you look, the winners of the portal and all of these mountain-moving players, yet it never seems to figure itself out. Like you said, Brian Kelly is cursed in week one or week zero, whatever it might be in his opening days. We'll see if that can continue. And then obviously I brought up the name of Lenore Sellers at South Carolina. I think that's one of those teams that finished last season strong and behind a returning quarterback, can you figure out a way to get to 10-2 for a second straight time, which will put you into a playoff? Or I think
I
10
read they lost basically their entire team, though, besides him.
and Ooh. All right, I take that back. Lenora Sellers, you're a bum. You can't be number one pick because your team's gone.
No,
I'm kidding.
I've also heard, because Lenore Sellers kind of came on the scene as South Carolina came on the scene last year, so it's not like I remember a ton about him. I've heard it's kind of boom or bust still, and he likes to turn the ball over. He makes a lot of kind of dumb plays, but he can make some really, really special plays too. So I don't know. They have a tough schedule too. I'm looking at every SEC team and going, wow, they have five games they could easily lose. And they have a stretch where they're going to play LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M, Coastal Carolina, and then Clemson to end the season. So,
Not bad.
but they also won't play a real team before that. Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt, South Carolina State, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that's ugly.
So, but like I said, I think you can kind of go through and nitpick every single SEC schedule like that. Because
Yeah.
there's another one that I actually think is kind of easy, because there's no LSU, Ole Miss, Texas, or Texas A&M in this schedule, but people aren't so high on is Tennessee. And I don't think Heupel maybe gets as much credit for what he's done in Tennessee in his reign compared to, I know they kind of have a lot of expectations as an SEC program, but like in our lifetime, this is the best Tennessee has ever really been in a consistent stretch here.
Agreed. Agreed.
And it doesn't really get it talked about that much, especially he's an offensive guy, and that's been great. And they've done that kind of in past eras with, you know, our boy in the Lions now and Joe Milton. But like last year was mostly a defensive team and kind of find a way to move the ball with knucklehead over there that they traded away for the UCLA kid.
Yep.
And everything I'm seeing from this new kid they got is basically he's a
He's a Heupel
takes
guy.
takes more shots, big character, throws a lot of picks version of the guy they got rid of. So I don't
Fair.
know. It seems like they've also lost a lot on a team, like on an offense that like didn't really have its best season last year, and they'll have to be a defensive team again. But I think they go unnoticed and under the radar, and that's a team very much that should get talked about. I guess that's my Florida for you, even though it's probably not quite as hot of a take given where they were a playoff team last year.
Fair. Quick SEC champion prediction.
Yeah, I think I am going to go. Can I give you an outside the box one?
Sure.
I'm going to go with the Ole Miss Rebels.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Lane Kiffin in Big 2025.
Love what they've done in the portal. I've heard that quarterback that they're bringing in is going to be pretty good. If I have to take a serious one, because I think they're probably like the fifth or sixth best team. I'm actually going to say this is the year LSU gets it done.
Oh, wow. I'm gonna bet on Kirby Smart. I say righting the ship as if he didn't just win the SEC by beating Texas twice.
Yeah.
No, wait, no, Texas beat them. I'm
Correct,
stupid. I'm stupid.
because the Georgia did not get a bye
Yeah, no,
first.
am I stupid?
Or did they? Because they just played Notre Dame.
You know what? I'm about to use this. This is why we don't expand playoffs. We don't even know who played in the damn thing.
So,
We're 8 months removed from this thing. We don't even know who was there.
Notre Dame played Georgia and ended Georgia's season, but did Georgia play another playoff game? Is the
I
question.
don't think they did.
I don't think they did either, the more I think about it.
Because Notre Dame played
No,
Indiana.
they did.
No, because Notre Dame played Indiana week one.
Yeah, that sounds right. And that would have been four versus five.
I don't know. Like I said, this is why you don't expand to fucking 12. We don't even know who was doing what.
No, because Notre Dame played Penn State in the semis.
That was the semis, though.
But so then Georgia and Notre Dame couldn't have been the semis.
There wasn't the semis. They played each other in
Oh, right, the top
the
four
first
had
round of
gone.
Georgia in the
Yep,
quarters.
that's right. That's right.
All right, so give me Kirby Smart going back to back.
Yeah, they just like weren't the same team. I don't know.
I'm
Their
buying
floor is
stock
so
in the
high.
Stockton.
Gunnar Stout,
He was bad.
he was bad, and he looks like he causes some he looks like he causes batty after every game to ask for waivers.
I just don't want to say Texas. That's too easy.
Yeah, it is too easy. And the hype is, I know it's a preseason, right? The hype is so unlike outside of Arch and some pieces that come back slightly more than other teams, like they're kind of in the same spot as Alabama, Georgia, and LSU for me.
Yep.
I don't really see them that much distinguished going into this, at least. And they're going to
Agreed.
have to play Ohio State week one. So,
Yeah. To the Big Ten, I'm going to
Big
start off
10.
here just because I have a pretty funny monologue. Ohio State, the reigning national champions. Jeremiah Smith, the best offensive player in America. Caleb Downs, the best defensive
Oh,
player in
no.
America. Ryan Day's off the hot seat. Wait, what comes next? Jim Knowles left the school for a lateral movement to a division rival? Wait, you replaced him with Matt Patricia? Wait, your projected starting quarterback has only thrown 12 career passes? Wait, you lose 14 players to the draft? Uh-oh. I do think Ohio State takes a step back, and I say back as if they're gonna go 9-3 and miss a playoff, but I think this is a retooling year, whereas they're obviously way too big to ever rebuild, quote unquote, because you just buy new players when you need to, but there's just too much production from that team that won it all, that you lose both of your running backs who were incredible. You lose a lot of your offensive line. You get to keep your receivers. That might be the one part of the room that doesn't disappear, or the one part of the team that doesn't disappear. You lose your entire defensive line. Again, you lose your defensive coordinator. And Matt Patricia in 2025. Matt Patricia in 2018 was a fraud. How this guy continues to get high-level jobs is incredible to me.
Yeah, I read something today that said he hasn't had a successful statistic since 2016.
Hey, he's the author of the most important play in Super Bowl history.
Are we talking about the Butler pick?
Yeah, I think so. Or I don't
Okay.
know. I just remember him with his stupid pencil behind his ear trying to get respect from people. It's like, dude, you're a circus. You need to earn respect. You don't demand it.
Yeah, but with the Ohio State thing, you look at that schedule, and even in a retool year, they're going to be favorited by a significant amount in 10 out of their 12 games.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not saying 8-4 is somehow possible and they're missing the playoff, because again, it's Texas. I mean, Washington on the road, you want to say is sneaky, okay, because
I'd
it's
say
not.
at Illinois is the most sneakiest.
Illinois is quietly a good team. We'll get to them. Penn State at home. I can't trust James Franklin until he proves me wrong, so can't say anything there. And then Michigan. So, but Michigan's gonna have a kid playing quarterback. So what are you gonna do? So that's where it's like, I just wanted to start there because they were the reigning national champs, and I thought it'd be funny to be like, build them all up and then tear them down as I sit there and like, wait a minute. You lose Jim Knowles, probably the most respected defensive coordinator, maybe even at both levels of football, and you replace him with Matt Patricia. That to me is one of the most mind-numbing things I've ever seen from a team.
But here's one better is I think all besides Penn State, which we can get to, is a lot of the best teams in this conference are in complete retools too.
Yep.
I'd still
Oh, yeah.
consider Michigan in a retool. Oregon is very much in a retool. They're going to start that Moore kid from Detroit who had his issues at UCLA 2 years ago. And I think like Oregon, I believe I read a stat that they're basically losing everybody on offense, and then on defense they have a really good linebacker core, and everybody else is new too. But they're going to benefit from, I don't know if you've seen their schedule. They avoid Michigan, Nebraska, Ohio State, Illinois. So they're basically only going to play Penn State. That could be the only ranked team on their schedule.
Yeah, I buy that completely. I guess Indiana's technically ranked, but I don't see Indiana redoing what they did. Let's get into Oregon. I think what I had for my notes is I think Dan Lanning is closely turning into James Franklin before our eyes, like the early stages of. There seems to be, like, I understand they just won the Big Ten, but James Franklin also won a Big Ten pretty early in his career. But in the big moments, Washington twice 2 years ago, all those Utah games, uh-oh.
Rose Bowl.
Then what happened? Yep, exactly. So I think, and you mentioned it, Dante Moore doesn't have extensive starting experience. He doesn't. He's got some experience at the collegiate level, but it's not. We're not bringing in somebody who you can say, yeah, you know what? You go be my quarterback. You run the offense. I trust you. I think it'll be a lot of design plays. I think I want to say there was one receiver. It was Tez Johnson, and I think Evan Stewart was his name. He comes back is, like you said, maybe one of the few returning things, but it is Oregon at the end of the day. They spend a profuse amount of money because Phil Knight wants to see a title before he wins because he's a true fan. But you mentioned they have a very, very soft schedule, so maybe they kind of just walk their way into the Big Ten titles because they don't play anybody else. Maybe not, but I would ex I go back and forth. I think this will be a team that'll compete for a playoff spot, compete for the Big Ten, but I find it hard to pick them for a national title.
Agreed. Agreed.
To Penn State.
Penn State, preseason number two, and there's a lot of things you can say about James Franklin going into this year. This is the best opportunity he's ever had to win a national championship. He has the most coming back of any playoff team. At spots where they weren't good last year, he went in the portal and got three big receivers. He went in the portal and fixed the defensive line and getting defensive tackles to replace what did leave in the draft, even though they still have some of a lot of depth there coming back. This team is going to go as far as Drew Allen, and I think we both agree on that. The schedule opens up. I know they're gonna have to play both Oregon and Ohio State, but other than that, there isn't a team on that schedule that is worth a damn for what their goals are. I think their non-conference could be the most pathetic thing since what Michigan used to do 3 or 4 years
Oh, just
ago.
take a look at Indiana any given year. You'll see what happens.
Let's look at Indiana. Do you want to hear Penn State's what I have in front of me?
Sure.
Nevada, FIU, and Villanova.
That's ugly. I see your Nevada, FIU, and Villanova, and I raise you, and I think I win. Old Dominion,
And then Kennesaw State.
Kennesaw
Yeah, State
State,
does win.
and
That does
Indiana
win.
State.
Correct. That does win.
But no, you're right. This is a Drew Aller team, and I think we also might agree where that scares me too.
Oh, yeah.
Because is Drew Aller a returning quarterback at a top team with playoff experience? Yeah, but Drew Aller also didn't throw passes. He
And it's like Drew Aller came in as this big, I think he was the number two quarterback in his class.
Yep.
And he came in as like, this is the savior. We've always just kind of had middle of the road college quarterbacks here at Penn State in the James Franklin era. And the fan base has like slowly turned on him while they've still given him, he's still given them some of the best seasons they've had in recent history. Like last year, you can't argue it was one of the best seasons they've had in recent history. They made it to the semifinal. They won, 10 games last year. I don't like the fan base is hot on him. He knows that. This is his last year here. And I can see it. It's such an anti-fan base so that they want to be Ohio State. They want to be, I hate to say it, Michigan won a national championship 2 years ago. They feel it's their turn and they know. And I could just see this thing going downhill. If you don't show up on September 27th against Oregon at home, probably going to be a big noon kickoff game.
No, it's a night
And,
out. It's a night out. Or night out. It's a white out.
well, you go in under the lights there, James Franklin. I think I saw a stat that in the last, like, something seasons, he's legitimately 19 and 0 as a favorite. It's 0 and 6 as an underdog.
And that's the perfect encapsulation of James Franklin is beat the teams you're supposed to beat because he has made a very, very high floor. We do have to give him credit. And to be fair, we were too young to remember the Joe Paterno days, and especially the glory days of Joe Paterno where they were
Right.
winning titles. So this is, like you said, this is the best Penn State we've seen of our lifetimes. They've pulled a Michigan 2022, Ohio State 2023, where everybody comes back, at least the important guys that can come back. And you have it perfectly laid out in front of you. Split the games against Oregon and Ohio State, make a Big Ten title game, or don't. I mean, if you go 11-1 and go into the playoff as a 5 seed, so be it. That's okay. No one's going to kill you for that. But find a way to get it done. And I can't vouch for that. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, it's kind of like I said earlier with the believe it and I'll probably see it. This is truly a believe it and I'll see it for me as someone that does root for Penn State.
It's pure Stockholm syndrome.
The other team I wanted to talk about before we get into Michigan State in this conference is obviously the enemy. That's Michigan. They come in, I think it's up preseason 15. Is that
I think it
right?
might even be 14.
14. So very high expectations off a team that finished, 7 and 5 last year, and barely got into. I mean, You can't say it was a failure of the season because of what happened, at the Horseshoe last year. You ended up going in and beating the defending champion and making them look like a fool. But this is a team. I think I saw something that if they scored above 22 points, they won every game last year. So it's clear where this is going to have to come from, and it's the quarterback position that was some of the worst quarterbacking play in the history of college football. I think some of this, their QBR was worst among all schools not called the Service Academy last year. And the expectation has never been higher at the position when you bring in one of the highest recruits in the history of college football right down the road in Belleville. And we'll see what the kid can do. I heard it was, from all intents and purposes, a relatively disappointing spring for where the expectations were. I think the expectations are sort of unfair for a kid that's 18 years old in college football,
Hey, if
but
you've got a $12 million contract, I don't want to hear about unfair. Go earn your
okay.
money.
So that's where you're at on that. I think the expectations are too high and he won't perform to that, and the fan base is going to get angry quickly. They're going to get a te he's going to get tested very early on in the season at Oklahoma. Luckily the suspensions come in after that game, but
Do we want to bring that up? I feel like we have to.
yeah, I guess we can.
We can actually make it quick too, because all I have to
Yeah.
say is punishment. What punishment? There wasn't a punishment
It was a financial punishment,
but it
though.
doesn't matter because you can, because as long as private backers are allowed, and as long as Henry Ellenson's wife can say, "Hey, honey, I need a new quarterback, or I need a new tackle, or I need to pay for this revenue that we just lost because the NCAA fined us," he'll do it. And it doesn't matter. Now, you want to tell me we move to a salary cap situation and you lose that revenue and we've banned private money in the sport? I'll agree that there's a punishment, but as of right now, you didn't vacate wins, you didn't postseason ban anyone. Financial punishments at a time where anybody can just say, "Here's a $20 million check, you're now
Yeah.
covered." There
But
is no
what did you
punishment.
want them to do is my thing.
I mean, you could have symbolically taken away wins. You could have symbolically put the asterisk
What
next
does
to the
that do,
title,
though?
and hold on, and most importantly, you could have given a postseason ban. And
Well, okay. I'll get
before
there.
we say, "Oh, that's not fair," you have to realize what you've just created. It is quite literally based off this precedent. It is impossible to ever ban anybody. You know why? Because from the time it takes to open an investigation to close the investigation and levy your punishment, there will be new players and new coaches. You quite literally cannot punish people based on this ruling of, "Oh, that's unfair." And you want to talk about unfair? Isn't it Akron that said some kids skipped class and are currently banned from the postseason right now?
I didn't know that was even a thing, but
There's some school in the MAC, maybe it's Kent State. And that's not the play. I understand what's going on. The TV networks are never going to let Michigan be banned because that's a lot of money that you're not going to take. Like, of course you're going to take it, but I just think it is what it is. I think I said this maybe 2 summers ago when they announced the Pac-12 departures to the Big Ten, and it's just like the sooner the Big Ten and the SEC break away and create their own NFL junior with their own commissioner with actual enforced rules, the sooner you can actually get back to having a respectable sport. Because right now this is a joke at
yeah,
every level.
and I think I do think part of it, unfortunately, was Harbaugh's non-cooperation and him being, as much as I say I hate that I love him now in the NFL, it's like the way he handled this situation of not willing to give up any information of it kind of left, like, obviously Connor Stallions did what Connor Stallions did, but like kind of left the NCAA with like a, well, how can we truly do anything? I mean, they did basically ban Harbaugh. Was he got a 10-year ban?
On top of the 4-year ban they already gave him for the
Yeah, so
recruiting.
he's never, and he's in his mid-60s. He's never going to be a college coach again.
Yep.
So that in itself, that probably is the best part of the punishment because that's probably the person who's most deserving of the punishment and was the least cooperative in actually being able to have enough evidence to render a proper decision. And I do think they were shackled by they didn't have the evidence because of Harbaugh, and I put this more as a Harbaugh thing than the punishment was too light, maybe. Because I do think given what they had, I also am someone who believes like the Louisville team the basketball team that lost the 2012 championship or 2013, whatever it is like Okay, I still remember that game. I still know what happened. Like,
Sure.
it's in all our heads. So, like, revoking a title to me personally, I know a lot of people don't feel that. A lot of Michigan State and Ohio State fans don't feel that way. But to me personally, I'll always know it happened.
Oh,
I'll
of course.
always not like that that happened. Like the day we
I'm
matched
you
up
can't
with
you
them that
you're
year.
right. It did happen. You can't take away the memories. Everyone will it existed. It happened. It's just you have to do something. Like I said, there is quite literally no is because of the fact that private money is allowed, there wasn't a punishment. Because once again, the dude who's worth $240 billion, his wife, who is apparently super fan, says, "Honey, this year for Christmas, I want you to pay $30 million to reimburse the University of Michigan for what they did." And he says,
Yeah.
"Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, here's a signature. Go, you can drop it off
Yeah,
yourself."
that's the that's how the team budget thing is so funny to me, 'cause like,
What budget? There is no budget.
yeah, exactly. Like, what are we, the player budget or like.
Like, and as I said, if we were in a situation where there was a salary cap and you had $25 million for a roster and you told Michigan you now have 22.5 or you have 20 or you have fit, whatever it might be, that's a punishment. But as long as financial backers are allowed, if I was Dan Lanning, I would go to Phil Knight and say, "Dude, I'm just going to poison everybody before we play him. And if they prove it, who cares? You'll just pay the fine for me. But you'll see a title in your life."
Well, here's the difference. That's a criminal act. That's a literal criminal act and goes beyond the NCAA. Unfortunately, law enforcement would have to get involved with that one. You missed one step in that
Right,
analysis.
fine. If I'm Dan Lanning, all right, new plan. If I'm Dan Lanning, every single game, if somebody's about to score, I'm running a staffer out there, tackle him. He's running down the sideline, Mike Tomlin, sit on the sideline, trip him.
Okay, then watch no staffers on the sidelines like the second time that happens.
That's not in the rule book. They got to
But
investigate.
you saw what the punishment was. They can make whatever rules they freaking want.
It'll
So
take them time though, and then it'll be a future regime, future players, and you can't punch them.
that is part of the problem. You are right. It's like,
It's
how are we gonna
a snowball effect. It's a paradox. You can never punish anyone ever because you have to go through the investigation.
yeah. But that's just like, that's due process, and that's what like what our
Sure.
country is founded on to
But
a certain extent.
it's good to talk about it. I don't think I ever believed there was going to be something just because they are too big to be punished. It's like when Boeing murders people knowingly because they don't actually do anything for safety checks. Oh yeah, here's the next contract and the next contract, and here's $50 billion for the F-46 sixth generation fighter plane. It doesn't matter. You cannot be punished. So
Right.
it is what it is. I just thought it'd be funny to bring up. And if we have to encapsulate this before we get to Michigan State, the sooner the Big Ten and the SEC break away and tell the rest of the sport to go fuck themselves, the sooner you can become respectable again. Because right now, everything about the sport's broken. We got
Yeah.
24 team proposals for a playoff. Just cancel it all.
In terms of Michigan, I don't believe in quite all the hype they're getting back to Michigan.
Sure.
That great defense last year, they lose Mason
They're
Green, they
gone.
lose other, yeah.
Kenneth Grant's gone. The
Yeah.
Josiah, was it Stewart? Stewart, I think, was his name. He's
I mean,
gone.
they had three first round picks on that team still. They had a lot of
Will
guys
Johnson's
drafted.
gone. Not that he played, but
Yeah. Yeah, right. Colson Loveland on offense, like they did lose quite a bit from what the better parts of this team were. And the good news is for them, they're not playing Penn State, they're not playing Oregon, they're not playing Indiana, they're not playing Illinois.
hey, they got to
At least
travel to Michigan State, though.
they got to travel to Michigan State, but they are quite literally avoiding four of the top five teams in the conference this year. They do play Oklahoma. And there's no reason why they can't win nine games with this schedule, even with what I just said.
Agree completely. To the bad boy Spartans.
Bad boy Spartans, baby.
I think this is funny just because this is one of the few spots in sports where you took an initially lower position and are still lower on this team and this coach than I am.
Yeah.
That
Yeah, that's
that's
a rare
rare because
treat.
I'm usually the resident
Hater.
hater. We'll go with that.
That is true.
With that said, I think I'm veering towards your side where before we get to the actual team, I'll just throw my expectations out. You miss a bowl game. I'll drive you to DTW myself. I'll take 3 hours of my day. I'll drive out there, pick you up, drive you to Detroit, and you can go wherever you want. You should be fired if you miss two bowl games in a row at Michigan State in 2025 with the amount of tools you should have at your disposal. I think if he goes 6-6, I think it becomes a coin flip where there's a new athletic director. The guy who hired him is no longer there. So how much loyalty is there really to him? So I would say that's you go 6-6, true coin flip. It's 7-5, I would think he's safe, but once again, the guy who hired him is not there. So I can't make that guarantee. If he gets to 8 wins, he's your guy in 2026. I think it's that simple.
Oh yeah, I'd argue 7-5 is a lock. I just don't see them doing it.
Yeah, with that said, let's get into the team. Aiden Childs comes back for year three with Smith and year two as a starter. I wonder if we're now allowed to say he needs to play better, or if we still have to say he's a teenager and he's a kid, and we can't expect a dude making $1 million a year to throw the ball to the wrong team more than he throws to the right team. And then we have to listen and get up and talk shit about the fans. Personal rant aside, I do have hope. I there was progression in his play as the season went on. The Boston College game was in September. It was not November. I think he became a little bit more active with his feet, which is something that I screamed
Did I
for.
miss the part where they went 1-6, 1-4 to end the season?
I'm aware of that, but at least they were playing real teams to end the season.
Okay.
It was Michigan. I mean, I say Michigan like they were. It was Penn State, Ohio State.
Indiana was in there too.
Did we have Oregon last year too? I think we did.
We did. We played them at Oregon. That was
Yeah.
real. That was like early October though.
Yeah.
It was
Yes, it
after
ended
that
poorly. I'm just
rivalry
saying
game that we
he
won.
stopped throwing it to the wrong team at
Sure.
the rate he did at the beginning of the year. I can't believe that dude got in front of the fucking microphone and decided to call fans out. It's like, dude, you've got more turnovers than touchdowns. Get a grip on yourself. Sorry. Let me get back to it. The wide receiver room, we know Nick Marsh is a future NFL player. And then the people who are much smarter than me talk about Omari Kelly, Christian McCray as one of the better wide receiver rooms that Michigan State's had in 5, 10 years. These are guys that are coming from smaller schools, and that's always scary because what level was your competition there? But at least they produced at those smaller schools.
Yeah.
Both of those guys were, I think, near 800 yards receiving and a couple touchdowns apiece. And I'm not asking them to be wide receiver one. We have wide receiver one. So I'm asking them to play complementary pieces. Maybe I want to say McCray is the speedster. I'm asking you to open the field up, be that deep threat. So I love the wide receiver room. Jack Velling comes back. You add Connor Moore, who was supposedly the top offensive tackle in the portal and an FCS All-American, and you fought some of the SEC schools. You somehow beat out Ohio State, which I don't know how we got him if Ohio State's also after you, but that's good for me. You bring in the kid from Wake Forest, Matt Dublin. Hint, hint, the last time we got a Wake Forest kid turned out to be pretty good.
Yep.
So on the offensive side, I think I like what the tools you have, and you have the ability to be, dare I say, an explosive offense. Hopefully this offensive line stays healthy. That used to kill the early 2020s Michigan State teams. It'd be like,
Yeah.
here is our projected starting lineup, and by week two, they were all dead.
Yeah.
We'd play 11 different starting lineups in 12 games. So we need these guys to stay healthy. And it turns into, what can the defense do? Can they hold people to 20, 22 points and hope the offense gets you 25, 28? I don't know anything about this defense.
About this defense,
Nope, not in the slightest.
I mean, it's completely gutted, but it had to be. There's, like I said, like you kind of said, offensively, I've seen a ton of small school transfer names. They put up good numbers. It's a new defensive coordinator this year, so that's all I can say, I guess.
Yeah, you've got a favorable schedule.
You do have a favorable schedule. You avoid the big dogs in Ohio State and Oregon.
Yep.
You don't have to play Illinois. You don't have to play Wisconsin. You play some of
Wisconsin
the big.
sucks.
Okay, sorry.
Now you're good.
You get to play Penn State. you get to play Penn State and Michigan at home. Not that those that's gonna matter really, but yeah, we can kind of go game by game
Let's
now.
do it.
Western, I think this is going to
Win.
be a win. It's going to be one where you panic. Aiden Childs is going to have two turnovers. They're going to win this game 24-17, and you're going to have people like me wanting him fired right now, but I do think they win that game. Boston College, I think at
Win.
Spartan Stadium, they beat this team. I've heard they've lost a ton.
Hey,
He
night
didn't
game
do great.
too, under the
Night game,
lights.
he didn't do great in the he didn't do great in the portal from what I heard. O'Brien, that is. I think they win that. Youngstown State,
You
I'd
better win
fire him
that.
right there if he loses that. And then at USC, I'm gonna have that as the first loss of the season. I think this is gonna be a slightly better and more competitive USC team this year. I think you could see them win 8 or 9 games there. That's a loss for me.
So I'm gonna clump this with the Nebraska game where I need to see one of those two games as a victory. I don't care
Yeah,
which one it
definitely.
is. With the USC thing, the only thing I want to note is I don't really know how good this team is. Like, yes, Lincoln Riley had that connection with Caleb Williams, and they had a couple of exciting teams where they would win games 52-51, and then they would lose games 52-51. But outside of that, and then I guess just buying Jordan Addison from Pittsburgh, I don't think he's really done much there.
No, I'd
So
agree. He's it's been a failure there.
this is where maybe with the USC one particularly, maybe you sit there and, maybe the fans aren't in droves because nobody really cares about USC when they're not electric. Maybe you don't go into a hostile Coliseum and maybe you can steal one. But I lump this with the Nebraska game. Find a way to win one of these two road games and come back home in October at 4-1. That for me is a success.
I'm pretty high on both USC and Nebraska compared to the average person, and I think we lose both those
Okay,
games.
that's fair. I in Nebraska, like I think I'll agree with you there. They have a very, very easy schedule. You get year two of Dylan Raiola, and Matt Rhule is as much of a failure as he was in the pros. He does win in college, and in Nebraska, there's nothing else to do other than football. So he's got to get things right quickly, or he'll also be packing. UCLA at home, that better be a
That's a
victory.
win. Yep.
Indiana on the road.
A loss for me.
I
You're just
think
not as good of a football team. I don't think Indiana's anything special. You're not you're less than that though, at their place.
So I think Indiana, I'm not going to call it a coin flip, but I think there's a real shot here. I don't think
So
that they can replicate what they did again. I think you like all those guys that he brought from James Madison are now gone.
yeah.
There's a new quarterback again. So you're playing the hot potato game of is this guy actually good or not? For the sake of realism, because I can't just go down all the 50-50 games and give them to us because then we're gonna end up 10-2 and I'm gonna sit there and be like, well, that's just not gonna happen. So I'll give it as a loss, but I can see this as a victory.
Here's what I will say. I'm looking at Indiana's schedule. The 3 weeks before us, they'll play Illinois at Iowa at Oregon, which are though you could very well lose all three of those, and if you
And
sit there
get
and play at
completely
Oregon,
derailed.
it's a different game. I do
Yep.
believe that.
I agree. Michigan.
Loss.
I would probably tend to agree, but it's at home. They're going to be starting a child. Who knows?
I think. Well, here's the thing: is you will know what Underwood is at that point, and at that point, I'll have a better answer for you.
Yep, that's fair. I agree as well. I'd say the same with the Indiana game where we're gonna know what this new kid is, the Rourke 2.0 transfer, but I will also be fair and say this is a loss. So I've got us at 5-3 right now. I think you've got us 4-4.
Yeah, that's right.
Michigan State, Minnesota, that better be a win.
At Minnesota, I had that as a loss. I
Oh
think
wow, you
Minnesota
hate
is
us.
also better than we give them credit for.
All right, I've got us at 6-3.
Four
Or
and
wait, no, I
five.
can't be at 6-3. No, I can be at 6-3.
I'm at
Yeah.
4 and 5.
Okay. I'm at 6-3.
Penn State,
Loss.
loss.
This is the only single game on the schedule that I cannot do mental gymnastics to find a way we win that game.
I
Every
agree
other
with that.
game I can come up with a reason that says, oh, rivalry game, or oh, matchup, or oh, we'll score enough. This is the only game where it doesn't matter what happens, I don't think we can win this game.
I agree with that statement. At Iowa.
I mean, what is Iowa anyway? I don't know.
No, I actually am gonna have that as a win. We've dominated Iowa the last few years, it feels like. I'm gonna go out on a limb and have that as a win.
I will also have it as a win, like you said. I think we strangely do play them very well every year, especially when they're supposedly good. They've got a new quarterback. Brian Ferentz is gone because he didn't score enough points last season. What a crazy contract stipulation for your own child. But yeah, give me that win. I've got us at 7-5, right, or 7-4 right now.
Yeah, and I have a win against Maryland to get us up to 6-6 in a bowl game.
I've got us at 8-4. Like I said, this is the one where I'm going to be higher on this team, crazily enough, than you. But I just like the fact that outside of Penn State, every single game I can make a case that we can find a way to win. So
Yeah.
I like you said, the schedule's much nicer. You don't have to face just the juggernauts that beat down on you for a living. Michigan is hyped, but what are they really going to be with the things they lost and with the quarterback they're going to have? What kind of skill position players do they have? I don't know. So give me 8-4. Give me Jonathan Smith making his way to year three.
Give me 6-6, and J I will be part of the caravan getting Jonathan Smith back to Oregon.
You will be
Yes,
driving him to DTW, not me
I
then.
will be driving him to DTW. I'll drive him all the way back to Oregon.
That'd be pretty scenic view. I might come with you on that one.
Yeah,
Go
it'd be a nice
see the
nice little
Rockies.
road trip. I don't appreciate the, and I know he's done an okay job in the portal. It seems like we'll see how that comes to fruition this year. It's just, and you mentioned this quickly when we first started talking about them. My biggest gripe is that this is not Indiana football. This is not even Iowa football. This is Michigan State with the resources that they have. We shouldn't be talking about an 8-4 team, 6-6 team with the schedule, with the resources that you have. There's no juice behind the program. You can't recruit in the mid-50s and expect to win, even if you're in the mid-20s in the transfer portal. I think college football has shown me over the last couple of years, unlike basketball, where basketball, I think you could purely play free agency every year and be completely fine. Football, you need to have some culture, which starts by recruiting freshmen young, and B, you do need guys that grow up in a program, and you need guys that learn a system, learn an offense, and there's just way too many positions, and you need way too much to happen in terms of injuries and depth, that it's just you can't get away with not recruiting at all kids out of high school. And until he fixes that, until he builds some, what I want to say, culture, it's maybe, and maybe he has, and maybe I just haven't seen it, and haven't paid enough attention to it. If I am, I will be the first. If we sit here on October 23rd going into this Michigan game and we sit at what would that be, 6-1, I will firmly apologize to him. 6-1 or better, I will firmly apologize for him, but until I see it, I have yet to believe
Yeah,
what I've
I
seen.
can't fault that. Like, he hasn't sh again, he's had the 1 year of sample size, but
It's, I agree,
it was
it's
a bad
much.
year. It was a very bad year.
It's just, yeah. For me, I keep saying it. It's the identity. It's Antonio had an identity. I'm not even going to talk about what Mel Tucker was.
He had an
But
identity.
he, yeah. That's why I didn't want to even talk about it. But okay.
I'm kidding.
And it just seems like Smith has kind of failed to create that so far. I didn't like the hire when he was hired. Maybe I'm biased from that. A West Coast guy that only has West Coast ties. It's only been successful in his program that he grew up in, that he was a player in, and it took him 4 or 5 years to do it. And it was nowhere near the scale of what Michigan State is or should be in an area of the country he's unfamiliar with. It just didn't make sense to me, and everything through 16 months has proved that. So, but
Yeah,
we'll go on to year two.
I can't fault that logic at all. 8-4 though, it's gonna happen.
If we went 8-4, I would genuinely be happy with that season. And I think this is a program that should never in the current Big Ten lose more than 4 games.
Fair. This is probably one of the longer episodes. That's what we get for talking football. If you made it this far, thank you. I think next week we probably have the Lions preview. And then we get back into the thick of things. College games will
We'll
start.
get to talk some week zero.
True. Yeah, the Potato Bowl. But if you made it this far, once again, thank you very much. And I leave everyone off with a go green.
Go light.